Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Since I know this teaching is going out on tapes and every other kind of way, it's still primarily the word of the Lord to us at this time. And when I teach something from here, from the pulpit of this church, it's a word that the Lord is speaking to us. And I truly believe that He is speaking this word. This is burning in my spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. God is looking for a people. He's looking for a man after His own heart. He's looking for a people that He can raise up to accomplish His end time mission. I believe that. I believe it. All of my heart believes it. All of my me believes that thought. I see too much happening in the world today that lines up with Scripture and I know it's the end time. And Jesus said, you can look into the sky and you can see a cloud and you know it's going to rain, but yet you can't discern the signs of the times. He's written it all for us, and I think that with any biblical knowledge at all, we see what He's doing in the world today. He's moved from outer court. He's moved from holy place. He's moving into the holies of holies. And He's trying to find a perfect man to go in there with Him that He can perfect and mold and make into the very image. That's where He's at right now. Somebody was telling me this morning on the radio that there was a minister on there talking about how hard it was to get souls saved. Now, God's still doing that. Don't think that He's not. But the Bible clearly says that darkness gets darker. Gross darkness. There'll be darkness upon the people and gross darkness upon the face of the earth. But for you to arise and shine, for your light's come. Now, God's still saving people, and He will from now on. But that's not His emphasis right now in this hour. Neither is His emphasis on baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. A while back, we went through the charismatic movement. Do you remember that? God was moving through that holy place then. That was what He was doing at that particular time. Now, God will always baptize people in the Holy Spirit. But His primary emphasis right now is for us to grow in Him and to perfect in Him and get on with His program. Now, we act dumb, but we know what He's doing. And you know what He wants to do in your life. And I know what He wants to do in mine. Now, sometimes I play dumb. Do you? But you know His program. And He's looking for somebody that'll do His will His way. Now let's get over there where we were at this morning in 1 Corinthians. I believe that's going to be my opening scripture. I'm not sure. That'd be a good one to turn to. You'll be close. I want to go back to page 1 on your notes and summarize a little bit. On page 1 of your notes, I want to go back and reread again my first three purposes. I want it clearly understood what we're shooting at here. Purpose number 1 is to give understanding. Purpose number 2 is to remove any misunderstandings. And purpose number 3 is to establish some spiritual or scriptural guidelines. Now that's my purpose. And I figure that if I'll show you the purpose, then it's up to you to hook up to that purpose.
Amen.
It's up to you to flow in the Spirit. I can teach you all day. I can show you all sorts of things in the Word. But unless you apply them and make them applicable to your life, I'm beating the air. Is that what Paul said he done? Shadow boxed. That's all I'm doing. So my purpose is those first three points. Now, we looked at the five natural senses, and then underneath that on point B on page one are the spiritual senses that we looked at this morning. Number one is the word of wisdom. Number two, the word of knowledge. Number three, discerning of spirits. Notice out beside that I've got knowing. Those are the knowing gifts. That is knowing what Christ knows. That is having the mind of Christ. That is the word of wisdom. It's not just a good thing to say when somebody's in a time of crisis. It is the thing to say. It's the wisdom of God. And when you realize that the wisdom of God is a person, who is the wisdom of God? Jesus. Then the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits. Those are all knowing gifts, knowing senses. 4, 5, and 6, tongues, interpretations, and prophecies. Was Jesus a prophet? Mm-hmm. And then everything that he prophesied and everything that is prophesied today should line up with what he prophesied. Is that right? That's right. Those are the talking gifts, the talking senses. 7, 8, and 9 are the power, faith, healings, and miracles. That's doing what he did. Now, how can anybody know what he knew, talk like he talked, or do what he did without these 9 spiritual senses? Is there any way? I mean, I'm just as serious as I can be now. Can you conform to the image of Jesus Christ without these spiritual senses in your life?
No.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Then on page... Well, on page 2, bottom, let me read this. The very bottom sentence, paragraph, whatever that is. In this study, I will, of course, look at all 9 senses or gifts. I will define each and show you the operation of that sense gift in the Word. But my primary purpose is to give you understanding, remove misunderstandings, and establish spiritual guidelines. Page 3. We will address and scripturally answer these questions, and I'll get a couple of them tonight. What is the purpose of the gifts? I'll get that, so I won't say anything about it right now. Are the gifts necessary for today? I'll get that one tonight, I hope. Number 3. How many gifts can a person have? Number 4. What scriptural evidences are used to teach that the gifts have ceased? Now, I'll have all of that written out for you. And all you'll have to do is learn it so that when somebody talks to you concerning the spiritual gift, you'll be able to talk to them. You know, I really get frustrated sometimes with Christians. Jehovah's Witness are schooled. And if you're not careful, they'll persuade you. But it's because they have taken time and given themselves to school themselves in this Word. And they're out there knocking on doors. And what are we doing? It boggles me, and I'm not going to get on that. That's one of my little horses. But I'll have all of this written for you. And all you'll need to do is learn it. And if you don't want to do that, you'll have it so you can just pull it out and read it to somebody. Then number 5, how are the gifts to operate? And that's what most everybody wants to know. And we're going to look at that scripturally. We'll see the Apostle Paul in them and other individuals flowing in these gifts. Now, back on page 2. I want you to know these things. First of all, the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10 are not the same as number A, the fruit of the Spirit, Number B, motivation gifts. And number C, ascension gifts. Now, you may not have known there are that many gifts in the Bible, but you're fixing to. And you know that, and I'm going to show you that the ones that we're specifically looking at and studying right now are different from any of the others. And you need to know this. Now, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. You turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you in Galatians chapter 5 the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. And against such there is no law." Now, that is not the same as the nine spiritual gifts that we're studying and looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But, they must be used with. And the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 must be used with these gifts, or with these fruits. Explain. Let's make us a sandwich. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a piece of bread. The gifts of the Spirit of the church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a piece of bread. The operation of the gifts in the church. In the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You're a good bunch. Now, what is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 known as? The love chapter. Now, isn't it amazing that Paul would put the love chapter between the gifts and definition and then the functioning and operation of those gifts? Reason being, the goody of a sandwich is where? In the middle. You're a smart bunch of folks. It's right in the middle. And I can have a piece of bread and a piece of bread and put it together and have two pieces of dried bread. And I can have 1 Corinthians 12 in the church, and I can have 1 Corinthians 14 in the church, and I can have gifts in the church. But all the goodies left out. All the life would be left out of the gifts and all the goodies out of the sandwich. Just dried bread, dried word. No life to it. And Jesus says you wouldn't know them by their abilities to talk in tongues or prophesy or work a miracle. He said you'd know them by their fruits. And if you're going to judge a sandwich, do you judge it by 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13? You judge the sandwich by what's in the middle of it. So I'll know you, Jesus said, by your fruit. I'll know what kind of sandwich you are by the fruits you produce as you operate and function in the gifts of the Spirit. Is that sound about right? Does that line up with scriptures? Yes, it does. The goody of a sandwich is right in the middle. You judge that sandwich. You tell what that sandwich is made of by what's in the center of that sandwich. You tell and you judge the gifts of the Spirit and the functioning of the gifts of the Spirit by the way those gifts come forth. And if it don't come forth with the fruit of the Spirit, all you've got is gifts. No life to it. Ain't no good. And sad to say, the majority of the church world has seen the sandwich without the fruit. And all they've had is dried bread. A dry word, no life to it. Let's read that. That's pretty good little writing. Page 2. Number one, the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 are not the same as A, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22, 23. They are operated with, but not the same as, the nine gifts or senses of 1 Corinthians 12. The fruit of the Spirit is the center of the sandwich. One piece of bread is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the gifts of the Spirit. The other piece of bread is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is the operation of the gifts in the body. Between the two pieces of bread, chapter 12 and 14, is chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter. That is the goodie in the sandwich. That is the fruit of the Spirit. You judge what kind of sandwich by what is in between the two pieces of bread, by the fruit. I will judge you not by your ability to do chapter 12 or 14, but by your nature to do chapter 13. Jesus said we would know them by their fruits, Matthew 7:20. If the senses of chapter 12 and 14 do not taste of love from chapter 13, all you will have is a dry bread, a dried word with no goody, no life in it. The meat fruit in the middle of the sandwich is part of the sandwich, yet separate. The fruit of the Spirit is part of the operating of the senses and gifts, but yet separate. You can put two pieces of bread together and have a sandwich. You can put chapters 1 of 1 Corinthians and 14 together and have a gifts in the church. But the goody, the life, will not be there unless you have chapter 13. Now, we're going to get into all that more, but I want you to see that the gifts are not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fruits are not what we're talking about. We're talking about the gifts. But you've got to learn right off the bat, if they do not flow through and with the gifts, you're just beating the air. There's no life in it. Now, I don't believe you'll forget that. Make a sandwich when you function in the gifts. Make it fruity. Is that okay? That's good. I wrote that in there. Make it fruity. Okay. Point B. You need to know that they're not the motivation gifts of Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8. Now, I know that you don't know what motivation gifts are, so I'm going to give you a real brief summary. So turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now that's what it's all about. Office. In other words, the position of the individual member. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then what? Gifts. So see, I'm talking about gifts, but I'm not talking about these gifts. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. These gifts are totally spiritual that I'm talking about. These gifts here are not spiritual. These gifts here have to deal with your individual personalities, your individual abilities. These gifts here are your offices, what the things that you can do, your talents. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let one prophesy. According to the proportion of faith of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Then verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, this will explain it, I think, if you look at point B on page 2. I'll read that. These gifts establish the different offices of administration in the body of Christ or the church. They are specific abilities and talents which God has given us individually to minister to others in the body of Christ. They are energized by the Holy Spirit and sometimes used in conjunction with the gift senses of 1 Corinthians 12:10, but are not the same. The motivation gifts, Romans 12:4 through 8, use human abilities, personalities, and temperament. The gift senses of 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10 are totally supernatural and only operate by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can flow in these that I've just read in Romans chapter 12 because that's your ability to flow in that. Some people have an ability to teach. It's still by the grace of God, but you can do it here or you could do it in the schoolhouse someplace. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people have a natural ability to administrate. I went to college to learn how to administrate. So it's not just an ability supernaturally given to me of God. It's something that I can do. I can nail nails. Is that spiritual? No. You see what I'm saying? We all have certain abilities and attributes that God's given us. And we got those whether we're saved or whether we're lost. Has absolutely nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. That's what this is. Still grace gifts. Still, by the grace of God, you can do it. But not the charismatic gifts that we're looking at over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is that clear? All right. Just want you to see all these gifts now and what we're talking about. Some people, be careful now. Some people just have a knack to talk. Now, I really didn't until I started doing this. I was really a quiet person. But some people have just a knack to yak. And they will, because of the ability to flow with words, then when they begin to utter or move in the flow of prophecy, you see, it's not necessarily the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's their ability. And if you're not discerning of spirits, you won't know that. Am I making any sense? I really don't want to get you bogged down in this stuff yet, because we're getting to discerning of spirits when we get there. But what I'm trying to show you is a principle. Just because an individual can flow in a gift doesn't necessarily mean that's the gift flowing. That come out good. All right. Because... All right. Now then, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to do a little bit in Ephesians tonight, but I just want to show you this right now. We're going to come back. This is point C on page 2. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, are different from the ascension gifts, or what I have taught you to know as the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, these are gifts also. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's back up to verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, who ascended? Jesus. He gave what? Okay. But what did he give? He gave gifts. Now, what were the gifts that he gave? Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Ministry is a gift. True ministry is a gift. It's a gift of Jesus Christ. And it's not the same as 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you see? Now, these ministry gifts, these ascension gifts, this fivefold ministry is primarily for the establishing of the order or divine order or governments in the body of Christ, the church. Governments. But it will use these gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as tools to do it with. It is impossible to come unto the fullness of the stature of Christ without verse 11 of the fivefold ministry. Can't do it. But it's also impossible for the fivefold ministry to get you to come to the fullness without the gifts. The gifts are the tools. The gifts are the senses. The gifts is what's actually going to cause it to click and to come together. So, although they're separate, although all these gifts are separate, they all have to have one another to flow in the fullness. Is it our purpose to come into a fullness of Christ? If something full is full, how full is it? Is it halfway? Now, that's really not a quick trick question. If I need all the fullness of Him in my life, is that right? Right? Then do I need all of this in my life? Or do I need three-fourths of it? How full is full? Full. Then I need all of it. Do you need all of it then? If you're going to come to the fullness of Christ, you need all of Christ. How will you get all of Christ without the nine gifts? Okay. Very good. Let's read that one on point C. These gifts, verse 8, are given to men by Jesus Christ. They are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and are for the oversight of the church. These are also called the fivefold ministry. And through the ministry of these gifts, the body of Christ will come unto a perfect man in the fullness of Christ. This ministry will use the gift of the senses of 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, for the perfecting. The nine spiritual senses will be the tools used by the ascension's gift ministry, but is not the same gifts. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? One is dependent upon the other. If I am going to bring you unto the nature and the stature and the fullness of Christ, what do I need to do it with? What tools will I do? What tools will I need? What senses will I have to make sure is functioning and flowing here for that to happen? Those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those are the tools. Okay. Will apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers build the church? When a carpenter comes into here to build, say he's a sheetrock man, all right, and he's going to do sheetrock work, does he have a tool satchel, something with all of his tools in it? Now, those tools make it possible for him to do the work, right? Then in the same application with the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the tools in which they will use will be those nine spiritual gifts. They cannot do their job without their tools. A carpenter cannot do his job without his tools. Do you see what I'm saying? That's that gift and ministry. But you need to know that those are all different. Page 3. We will address and scripturally answer these questions, and I want to get number 1 right now. But drop down under number 5. I want to read that little couple of sentences right there. I want it settled in your heart and mind that you cannot be New Testament until the gifts or senses manifest in and around you. If you listen to the word I will teach and preach, this will be settled within you. Now, by the time we get these 5 questions answered, you should know. It should be a settling in your heart, in your spirit, whether they are or whether they are not for today. Now, number 1, I want to answer it. What is the purpose of the gifts or the senses? I'm going to show you, I'll give you the answer and then I'll explain it. The purpose is to restore the church back to a New Testament position and to bring the body of Christ into the fullness of Christ. Now that's the purpose. You cannot be New Testament without these. You cannot come into the fullness of Christ without these gifts flowing within our midst, in me and around me. Now that means I've got to flow in them, and that means you've got to flow in them. Are you going to help me? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I'll hit these real quick because I want to get back to Ephesians. First thing we need to know is it's to profit all of us. The gifts of the Spirit are to profit us all. They're not to profit God, other than us coming into the fullness of Him. They're not to profit me. They're not to profit any individual. They're to profit all of us. Now, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. How many? All. All right. Now, look at on your page 3, under point 1, I've got those words there for you. I want you to see profit with all and what that means. Now, that is one word in the Greek. It's 4851 in the Strong's, and it means to bear together, to contribute. In effect, to collect or conduce. The Lexicon Help says to bring back to a profitable, advantageous, for benefit of all. A gift or a sense from God is not to benefit one member. It is to benefit the whole entire body of which He is a member. Now, that, what is the word there? Okay, manifest. That's what I want. You see the word manifestation? Right above profit with all? 5321. It means an exhibition, an effect, expression, a bestowment. Now, do you feel like, have you ever been taught whether the gift should be on exhibition or not? Never been taught. Most of us live because we've been taught in the realm that if I'm given this gift, then I should, you know, really keep it down and low key. But manifestation means to exhibit it. Put it on exhibition. Show it off. If you go to see something exhibited, say a car dealer in town is exhibiting the 1987s, and he's exhibiting them, and you go to that lot, what will you go to that lot to do? To see something. To see those cars. Well, when people come here, what are they coming here to do? Give them an exhibition. Now, I'm not talking about... Ooh. Whoa! I'm not talking about frightening them. But I'm talking about let's learning to flow with what we've got to show. Let's let them see Christ. That's what I want exhibited. I want them to see Jesus when they come in these doors. I want them confronted with Jesus. I want them confronted with Christ. I want to see them fall on their face and say, "Surely God is among you." And when these things are exhibited properly, that's what will happen. You tell me, somebody comes in here who has never been in this city, knows nobody, and you walk up and you tell him a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you about that man. You tell me, that won't bother him. Then you begin to minister to him. much less the healing gifts and the miracles. Now, we know what that'll do. Now, also in this, I see the very first rule that we've got to learn in flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Because it means to edify, you see, and to exhibit. The first rule that we've got to learn is that, is it profitable? If you're given a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, well, if you're given the word of wisdom, you won't have any problem. But say you're given a word of knowledge about an individual. Now, would it profit the whole congregation for you to speak that word of knowledge out? So you see, you got to learn, is it profitable for us all? If you have tongues, are they at the primary time that God wants them to come forth? If you have an interpretation, is it edification? Now, let me say what I'm getting at here. I have been to meetings when I have heard tongues, interpretations, or prophecies, and they would come forth justifying an individual sin. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there. Now, I've seen people, knowing they had sin in their life, began to manifest these gifts, and knowing that they were not flowing in the Spirit, but by the words that they were speaking, they were justifying the sin which they had in their life. Am I making sense? And so by it coming from God, then it's okay. So you see what I'm saying? It has to profit everybody. And if it's not profitable, I don't want to hear it. If it's not edifying, if it's not uplifting and building the body of Christ, if it's not building this house and building an edifice here so that people can come in and see Christ in us, I don't want to hear it. Am I scriptural? Yes, I am. I've seen... Let me tell you what I heard. I never saw this one. This is better than what... I actually heard that this actually happened. Two sisters under the anointing got up, began to speak in tongues at the same time at each other. And neither would quit, so both got louder. Is that profitable to all of us? That happens in here. Would that be profitable? That's confusion. Pastor has to do something. My hands are tied. I can't just look over there, you know, and start singing a song. You got to do something when that something like that goes on. Cut the heat up a little bit, somebody. So you see what I'm saying? Is it profitable to all of us? If it's not, then hold it. Okay. Let's go on. Let's get off of this one. 1 Corinthians 14. Just flip over to 14 and verse 12. First Corinthians 14 and 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in edifying of the church. Now, what is the primary thing that Paul's telling them to do here? Edify the church. Now, that word edify there, I've got it written for you. It's the word that is translated for architecture. Let's look at it. Okay. It's on page 3. Under 1 Corinthians 14:12, drop down. And you'll see the word edifying. You see it? 3619 in the Strong's means architecture. In effect, a structure. The lexicon help says to build, the act of building, building as a process. So what Paul is saying here, if you're going to do it, it's got to be to build the assembly. It's got to be to build the body of Christ. Have you ever seen somebody so zealous that they would impose themselves on the church or on others. They're zealous to flow in spiritual things. They're zealous and they want to. But then they began to impose themselves. And that word zealous there, that's exactly what it means. It means impose. It's not for edification. It's to show people how spiritual they are. And it's not for edifying the body of Christ. He says, if you're going to be zealous, if you're going to impose yourself, at least do it to build the body of Christ. Now, let's back up this verse again and see if you learn anything this morning. Is there anything in that verse that would change its meaning? Is the word gifts in italics? Okay. What does that mean? It's not in the original. Now let's read it. Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spirituality. You're zealous to be spiritual. Not so much in the gifts, but you're just zealous to be spiritual. Seek that you may excel in the edifying of the church. The whole purpose of these gifts that we're looking at right now, the first purpose, the primary purpose, is to edify the body, to build the body, construct the church, build it up in edification to the way it should be. Have you ever gone into an assembly and it was Pentecostal and the gifts flowed, but they flowed in such a way that it was like I told you this morning, the chalkboard, and you're dragging your fingernails across the chalkboard, and it just drew you up, and it did not edify you at all? Did you go back? No. So when we come here, if it's to... All right, I'm closing out. If it flows the way that it's supposed to flow, it'll be edifying, and nobody will impose themselves on each other. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying, Lord. I am really. Now, this fivefold ministry will architecturally design and construct the body of Christ, the church. And the tools that it's going to be using will be those gifts that I told you about and we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, let's read verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, and I'm going to go through it a little at the time. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's the same word that's used over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 10, where it says, when that which is perfect is come, that's what it's talking about, when this perfect man comes, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How full is full? Full. How full are we supposed to come? What is full? How will you know when you're full? How will you know when the body of Christ is full? Running over? What's your measuring rod that you've got right here? Who? What? Christ. When we get to that point, you will be full. But until that time, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers are to fill you up. Full of Christ, full of Jesus. Would that not be doing all that he did? Being able to say all that he said? Being able to know all that he knew? How full was Jesus? Do you see what I'm trying to show you? To be full of Christ, you've got to have these gifts. You've got to be able to do what he did, say what he said, and think like he thought. Do what he did, say what he said, think like he thought. That's full. Is that full? Amen. That's the fullness that we're supposed to come to.
Now, the majority of the Christian world is waiting to get raptured. But the Bible says until we come to the fullness of Christ, then He'll come. I am Judy. I'm leaving it. Let's go on verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed. Why does He want you to get full of Him? That you henceforth be no more children. And children are tossed to and fro and carried about in every wind of what? Doctrine? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to do what?
Deceive.
What's the primary purpose of a devil?
Deceive.
To deceive you. What are they going to deceive you with? Verse 14. Doctrine. When you come into a measure of Christ and you're able to think like He thought and do what He did and say what He said, ain't no doctrine, nobody's doctrine, going to bother you. You will know it. But until we get to that place, there will be doctrines. There will be deceptions. And we're going to really look at this. We're really going to look at this thought of deception over there in Timothy, where it says that in the last days, people will be seduced by the doctrines of devils. Am I tying these together? Are a lot of people deceived today? Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. How many joints? That means that I've got to supply something to this assembly? I've got to supply something to this body? Do you have to supply something to this body? If you're alive, you will. If you're healthy, you will. A healthy body has 5 natural senses. If one of those senses is not functioning properly, then you're not perfectly healthy. The spiritual body has 9 spiritual senses. And if those 9 spiritual senses are not functioning properly, is the body healthy? A body is at best paralyzed when only a few of these things function. Now, let's lay it out here where it really needs to be. The primary thought of what I've shown you here in this first question is that the gifts, first and foremost, is to bring back to us the fullness of Christ. In the body, in every church, in every locale, God will be raising up a people who will come into His fullness. Now on page 4 of your notes, and I'll close with this. Second little paragraph. So the first purpose of the gifts, senses, is to restore the church to New Testament and bring the body of Christ into the fullness of Christ. This can only be accomplished by the gifts or the senses of 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. There is no other way that the fivefold ministry can develop the fullness in any church unless there is a fullness of these senses flowing. Now, point B is simply saying to form a body. I'll get that first thing, I suppose, next Sunday. But I want to just end right where we're at. I'm really trying to work on my time. Help me. Okay? But I hope tonight that I've gotten something across to you. I hope today that you've seen the very beginning of understanding these things is to understand that without them, the body is at best paralyzed. It's just lying there dormant. But with these senses flowing, the body becomes full of Christ. And when people come into our church, into our place of worship, they are confronted with who? Not Delbert, not Roger, and not Willis. Who are they confronted with? Christ Himself. And Paul plainly says, they'll fall on their face and say, surely God is among you. Is that what we want? Okay. Flow with your gifts. Would you stand? The primary thing that you've got to get is to remember, and I'll capitalize on this later, is that He is not out here trying to get in. Colossians 1:27 tells us where He's at. Christ, where? In you. He's in here trying to get out. He wants to come out in your life so that you can show somebody Jesus. Now, if you look at that way, you'll know exactly how many gifts you can have. They're all resident right inside of you. Now, the Spirit calls them forth, and it's the Spirit that will use them. You can't do it at your will, but at the Spirit's will. That's the difference. That's where we've really missed it at. Father, I love You. I love these people. And Lord, I want to give them so much. I want to see You manifested. I want to see You right here so badly. I want to see these people used to manifest You to a city. I want to see them flow in You and grow in You and let the Christ within come forth. We praise You. We praise You today for Your word. I praise You tonight for Your praise that we've given to You and, Lord, the Spirit that we've felt and sensed. Thank You so much, Lord. Praise You, and I love You. Bless these now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.